Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, it's time for another live in-studio performance in our Soundcheck podcast series. Streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, I'm John Schaefer. The Knights is a New York City-based chamber orchestra of varying size but unvarying quality. Whether they're premiering a new work, revisiting old classics, or offering unusual arrangements of traditional music from around the world, one of their favorite recent collaborators is the Syrian clarinetist and composer Kinan Azmeh, whose most recent album is called Uneven Sky, and whose recent composition, the Concertino Grosso, will be played by the Knights and Kinan here in our studio in just a bit. But first, we're going to hear just some of the Knights performing a work by Vivaldi. Now, this is not one of the charming up-tempo pieces from the Four Seasons. This is a mysterious, melancholy work called Al Santo Sepolcro, To the Holy Sepulchre.
Thank you.
Music by the Italian Baroque composer Antonio Vivaldi, played live here in our studio by a small ensemble of the Knights. There'll be a somewhat augmented group in just a moment. The piece is officially the Sinfonia in B minor, Al Santo Sepolcro, to the Holy Sepulchre. Colin Jacobson at the microphone. You and your brother Eric founded the Knights out of a kind of late-night chamber music party session that you guys used to do. This is not party music, is it?
No, far from it. And I love that it is, as you said, the opposite of, you know, it's spring right now and the sprightly and lovely music that he wrote. But this one's one of his most introverted, searching, and I think forward-thinking with its intense chromaticism.
Oh, my goodness. The beginning, yeah. There's like that crushing dissonance. It's like a minor second at the beginning of the piece. And you're thinking, that's Vivaldi?
Right.
That sounds like it could have been written 50 years ago or 20 years or yesterday.
Well, and one of the fun things about programming is you design stuff, but we discovered along the way that the piece that follows this at Carnegie is Thomas Addis's Chamber Symphony. And we didn't think about this, but that same is the same opening of the Addis Chamber Symphony, and it really segues right nicely out of this world.
So when you guys are putting programs together, I mean, here you have, you've been touring this around, the Thomas Addis, Caroline Shaw, Donica Dennehy getting an American premiere, and then there's Vivaldi. So is it the kind of the sonic connection that made it fit for you, or there wasn't like some kind of programmatic theme?
Well, I think, you know, just actually the fact, like today we're playing Kenan's Concertino Grosso. So everything on the program is hearkening back to older forms, whether it's Caroline Shaw's piece looking back to Haydn quartets or Addis's Chamber Symphony, really kind of like Schoenberg's Chamber Symphony. Or so just each half opens with a string-only piece that feels like it enters the door for whatever worlds we're about to enter.
Well, and it's also interesting to be able to draw connections between music that spans not only cultures, but centuries.
Right. Well, you were just, I know, at Big Years Festival,
right,
and I don't know if you encountered that quote that was on the festival brochure from Mahler, which I have been quoting because I love it so much, but it was, tradition isn't the worship of ashes, but the preservation of fire.
And wow.
I think that
Mahler
is so,
said that?
Mahler said that.
That's a great quote.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it every day of my life.
Wow.
Now. But I think it speaks very much to all the composers that we're playing, and of course, you know, to Kenan's piece, which we're going to hear from shortly.
Right. And for folks who aren't aware, Big Ears is an annual festival in downtown Knoxville. You were there with Brooklyn Rider, another band.
And we've been there with the Knights a few years ago,
right,
as well. Yeah.
Brooklyn Rider, another group that you and your brother Eric, who's not here today because there's no need for a conductor.
Right.
So did you and Eric first meet Kenan through the Silk Road project, through Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road project?
No, actually, Kenan and many of us in the Knights went to Juilliard years ago. And actually, for years, we were like, Kenan needs to be a part of Silk Road. And finally, it did happen at one point. But then, you know, at some point, we were talking about things to do with the Knights and knew that that would be, you know, a great thing to do at some point.
So, Kenan Azme, great to have you here with
your
Concertino Grosso, which literally means a big little concerto, right?
That's exactly right.
But a concerto grosso in classical music is a concerto where there are multiple, kind of like a group soloist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in your Concertino Grosso, what's the lead ensemble?
Right. The title comes from the fact that I love contrasts in general. I like this whole juxtaposition of concertino and grosso.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, it doesn't follow any of the classical forms,
okay,
the piece itself. The title is just about, it's a chamber group. I wanted to emphasize that it's a chamber group that is actually expandable.
Right.
Like now we're doing a smaller version. Features four characters mainly. Kyle on guitar, Cutlet on percussion, Colin and I, vis-a-vis the orchestra, which is the bigger body.
Right.
And there are lots of contrasts of characters. The piece, I think, can be divided into three main characters: slow, medium tempo, and then fast.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's pretty much it.
Now, Colin mentioned, you know, you went to Juilliard and, you know, you clearly have grown up with Western classical music, but the sounds of the Near East mm-hmm. are never far from what you do. Did you study that music as well?
I didn't. Most of my education was classical, Western classical music. But the classic case, you know, when you discover how important the museum of your hometown after you leave that hometown, mm-hmm. the same happened to me. I started being more interested in Arabic music.
This is my hometown, so right. The Met was always, I mean, you know.
Right.
It's like, gee, that Metropolitan Museum, they're okay.
Right. So I started actually having more interest in Arabic music after I moved to New York in 2001. But in my education back in Damascus, it was mandatory to take two courses in Arabic music history and in theory. But I didn't take these courses seriously back in the time. And then I realized how important they are much later.
Yeah. Now, there is also something in your bio that I have to ask you about, because in and among the Juilliards and the universities is the Damascus University School of Electrical Engineering.
That's right.
Was that in case the whole music thing didn't work out?
I don't know.
What is that?
I always loved physics.
Okay.
Since I was a little boy, physics was at the heart of what I always wanted to do. And I did my double major just because I thought I want to do everything at the same time. But it became, the decision became clear when I finished from both and I was applying for grad schools. I found myself applying for schools only in, like, for music.
Right.
So now I cannot claim, I know it's on my bio, but that I cannot claim that I'm electrical engineer. I think I'm good in the history of electrical engineering because I haven't used it for a number of years.
Yeah.
I can fix your old, like, thick TV screens, maybe, and an iron. That's pretty much it.
But if if somebody blows out their Marshall stacks, or you know, can you go back there and fix that for them?
I don't know. I hope I will never be tested on that.
So this piece we're about to hear, Kinan, this piece was co-commissioned by Carnegie, right?
That's right.
For their 125th anniversary.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Does that kind of thing factor in? I mean, when you're writing a piece for Carnegie Hall, does that factor into the compositional process?
It didn't.
Okay.
You know, my main rule when I write is I want to write something that I would like to listen to.
Yeah.
This is for me really at the heart of what I would like to do. But of course, when I look at the score and it says, you know, co-commissioned by Carnegie Hall, it's quite amazing.
You stand a little taller.
I do.
Point. Yeah.
I'm really incredibly excited and honored by this opportunity. It's fantastic.
Well, let's hear a somewhat scaled down version. I mean, it's the full piece, fewer strings, with the knights who are here. You've met Colin Jacobson, who will play the violin. Christina Curtin and Laura Lutsky playing violins. Mario Goto playing the viola. Caitlin Sullivan, the cello. Lizzie Burns on bass, Michael Catarisano on the percussion, specifically the cajon, the South American box, Kyle Sana on guitar, and of course, Kinan Osme playing the clarinet. Here is the piece, the Concertino Grosso. Thank you. Wow, that is a piece called Concertino Grosso, a big little concerto by the Syrian-born clarinetist and composer Kenan Özmeh, played live here in our studio by The Knights. Their artistic directors are the brothers Eric and Colin Jacobson. Colin is here, Kenan obviously, and the rest of the band. And Kenan, I have to ask you, in the classical tradition, a concerto has usually a cadenza, sometimes several of them, and in most famous concertos, those cadenzas, which are meant to sound improvised, are actually all written out. What about your cadenza, Kyle's cadenza on the guitar? Is all that written out?
Some of it is, some of it is not.
So there is some genuine improvisation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Actually, there's a big section of the piece which is open for solos. I'd like to bring this aspect of improvised music in the music I write. I think I always depart from this belief that some of the best written music is one that sounds improvised.
Right.
And some of the best improvised music is the one that sounds structured.
Absolutely.
As if written out. So trying to blur these lines is something that I obsess with.
Yeah. There's a moment early in the piece where Kyle's guitar almost sounded to me like the Arab oud. Was that intentional?
I mean, Kyle does magic on his guitar, so. but it wasn't intentional to sound like
just me hearing things then. So, Colin, the programming, for The Knights is all over the place. I mean, what Kenan is talking about, bringing improvisation and composition together seems to be something that you guys have been after from the get-go.
Yeah, well, like with that quote of Mahler, certainly interested in keeping this orchestral tradition alive, but
I've already forgotten. What is that quote again?
Tradition isn't the worship of ashes, but the preservation of fire.
Right.
I think we definitely are coming from Vivaldi and Beethoven. We just toured Europe with Beethoven 8 in 15 cities, but very much interested in keeping this thing moving forward. So Michael Catarizano is an example of someone who's so versatile. He's playing cajon, but plays great timpani. I mean, Christina Corton, you've heard sing, I'm sure, over the years in a variety of situations, her own music. Sean Conley, the bass player, arranged the big noise from Winnetka, but he put it in more of a gypsy jazz context. Mike Atkinson, the horn player, made a new kind of version of Hungarian rock by Ligeti that we're going to do, and different people are soloing on that. So there's a lot of stuff that bubbles to the surface.
Well, and you are a New York, a specifically Brooklyn-based band, and we've seen a whole generation of younger musicians for whom the different genres are, it's sort of immaterial. You got people who play cello in a string quartet in the afternoon, and then that night they pick up their electric guitar and play in their rock band. And
it's true.
It's
a thing.
It's a great thing. Yeah. So what happens now? I mean, this is not the first time that you and Kenan, the Knights, have collaborated with Kenan. I'm assuming it won't be the last.
Definitely not, I hope. I mean, we actually, the great thing is we did get to tour this piece around the U.S. last year or a year and a half ago or so. So hopefully it will continue to have a life because it's so beautiful
it's
and I feel like
piece.
People need to hear it. So
Kenan, it's hard to introduce you as a Syrian musician and not think of what's going on in Syria and to think of how that might consciously or subconsciously influence the music. But I couldn't help noticing that in a lot of the real up-tempo, dancey parts of the piece, that the harmony was still a kind of minor key. There was a thread of melancholy running through even the fiery parts of that piece.
It's hard for me to really to dissect it the way you are dissecting it now. For me, this is like, it has a little bit of optimism in the piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean, like you said, it's hard to, I think about this the whole time. Of course, it's in the back of my mind. And if I look at the work that I've been doing in the last 8 years, since the Syrian uprising began 2011 until today, some pieces deal directly with what's going on, trying to raise awareness and trying to make people ask questions, why is this going on?
Yeah.
But also some pieces become my little claim for freedom too, where actually I try to free myself from that as well.
Mm.
I do think making music is an act of freedom by default. So You know, you can. I think it's something that I say often. You cannot summarize the tragedy with a piece of music. If you really want to get a full perspective of what's happening in Syria today, you have to listen to 24 million Syrians telling their stories. I think that's like if you really want to make the you know, the effort to understand what's going on.
And how long have you been out of Syria now?
I moved to New York in 2001 to study.
Right.
I never thought of myself as moving away. I kept an active connection with home. But starting 2011, I realized like it's going to be hard to, at least to play. And I stopped going home in 2012.
Wow. Yeah. Well, hopefully that will change at some point. But as you say, it's not a piece of music that's going to do that. But listening to the actual voices of the people themselves. And we've been hearing the voice of Kenan Azmeh and the musical voices of the Knights here in the studio today. Guys, this has been really terrific. Thank you so much for coming and playing for
us. Thank you.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.